The following is paid commercial programming. Third-party rankings are no guarantee of future investment success. Working with a highly rated advisor does not ensure that a client or prospective client will experience a high level of performance. Investment performance is not an explicit criterion because clients' investment goals differ. These ratings should not be construed as an endorsement of the advisor by any client. Generally, rankings are based on information prepared and submitted by the advisor. Statements saying that we told our clients to be out of the market in 2008 referred to recommendations made by MMWKM's principals while employed at Eagle Strategies LLC. The team that manages accounts at MMWKM are the same individuals with that responsibility at Eagle Strategies and at Cambridge Research from 2009 to 2011. MMWKM was created in 2011. And uses the same exit strategy. A more thorough disclosure of the criteria used in making these rankings is available by contacting MMWKM Advisors LLC.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Money Matters. And here's your host, Ken Moray.
We're in the money. We're in the money. We've got a lot of what it takes to get along. We're in the money.
We are in the money. The skies are sunny. And old man recession, you are through. You have done us wrong. Well, hello, 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 everybody, and welcome back to Money Matters with Ken Morafe. And of course, I am your host, Ken Morafe. And this is the show where we talk about everything and anything in the world of retirement planning. We talk about the stock market. We talk about diversification, Social Security, estate planning, income taxes, you name it. We talk about it, and we try to have more fun than a human being should be allowed to have when talking about all of this boring financial stuff. And this week's going to be no exception. We have a ton of boring stuff to talk about. But before we go one step further, let me introduce myself. I am Ken Morafe, the host of Money Matters with Ken Morafe. Thank you, Jack. I am the founder and senior retirement planner at Retirement Planners of America, and I do feel good. It's true. And we're a firm that specializes in retirement planning. We work primarily with people who are over 50, who are retired or retiring soon. So if that's you, this show is designed for you. And all of the ideas that we talk about on this show, these are the very same ideas we talk about with our beloved and most valued clients. And we now work with clients in 43 states, over 8,500 beautiful, wonderful families. We are honored. We are privileged. But you know what? Without our clients, we would be nowhere. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And let me go over with you what we're going to talk about on this, our weekly excursion into the land of retirement planning. So first of all, you know, it's kind of a difficult thing, but we're going to talk about the coronavirus, okay? And more importantly, not specifically the coronavirus, but how has the stock market behaved in past viral outbreaks? And there have been quite a few. I went back and looked at it, and there have been a lot. And so we're going to go back and look at how has the market behaved in those scenarios to give us some feel for what it could behave like this time around as well. Now, also, one of the most important things that we believe in is diversification. And, you know, there are times, the argument against diversification is, you know, Bill Gates, Bezos, those guys would not be the richest men in the world if they diversified. You know, if Bill Gates said, you know what, I don't want to have all my money in Microsoft, I want to diversify, then, you know, he might not have done as well as having all of his money in Microsoft. However, we're all not Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos, okay? Most of us are not that. In fact, I'd say all of us are not. So diversification, then, we believe, is the way to go for somebody who's retired or retiring soon. So what I want to go over with you is how to diversify your retirement portfolio. And there are 10 things that I think you should have in your portfolio, and we'll talk about what those are. Now, also, we're going to talk this week about strategies for when and how to take Social Security. And what I do in that segment is I ask you to help me make this show interesting and relevant by sending me your questions. And this week we have two questions that we're going to answer, one from Jeff and one from Carol. So we're going to talk about when and how to take Social Security strategies for doing that. So some excellent questions there. Now, also this week, we're going to talk about our foundational philosophy, which is buy, hold, and protect. Okay, and what I mean by that is that we think that buy and hold are two legs of a three-legged stool. In other words, it's an incomplete strategy. Now, if you're 25 years old or 30 or 40 or even maybe 50-ish, buy and hold may be something that you should be looking at because you've got time before you're going to retire and live on your money. However, if you're within 5 years of retirement or you are retired, then what I see is a great deal of danger if you buy and hold during a bear market. And bear markets are like 2008 and Y2K and many others where the market, the S&P, for example, has gone down tremendously and taken years to recover. You know, the Great Depression, it took 25 years to recover. And I don't think if you're retired, you have 25 years to sit around and wait for your money to recover. So we believe you should sell. And so I got an email from Carol, and she says, protect. Well, if you sold all your stocks, wouldn't you have a huge tax liability? And that's actually a very good question, and it speaks to one of our investment principles, which is that paying taxes on your profits is better than losing principal. And I'm going to go into some detail on that and tell you a very interesting story about this gentleman that I met years ago who told me a heart-wrenching story about what happened to him and why taxes should not be high on your list of decisions, okay? So we'll talk about that. Now, you know what, Jack? Most shows would actually stop right there. Most shows would say, you know what? If we did just that, we have done more than our listening audience could possibly want from a financial show.
Stop me.
But on this show, do we stop right there? Of course we don't. We boldly go where no financial show has gone before, and therefore, at about 10 till, we're going to talk about the most exciting, interesting, fascinating topic in the world when it comes to estate planning, when we have our estate tip, and that is the power of attorney documents that you should be thinking about. Oh, man, can you believe we're going to talk about that? Oh, my gosh. I will bet you, our listening audience right now, they wish we could just do it now, right? I don't want to wait till 10 till to talk about the power of attorney documents. But we will do it then, and there are four of them. And I would venture to say that almost everyone listening to this show needs these documents, okay? So even though it's our estate tip of the week, it's one that maybe you should think about. Now, does it seem crazy to you, but January's over already? I mean, it's already February. It's like unbelievable how fast. Oh my gosh, what a fast start to the year. I barely caught my breath from New Year's and it's already February. That's insane. Anyway, let's talk about how the stock market has done in previous viral outbreaks. And I want to preface the conversation by saying that, you know, past performance does not guarantee anything about the future. And the danger always with these viral outbreaks is that they do, in fact, become a pandemic, meaning it becomes a scourge and it kills hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people, like the Spanish flu did back in the early 1900s. That one killed off something like a fourth of the world's population. I mean, that would be like amazingly tragic and would have terrible consequences. So, you know, unless it turns out to be something like that, which would have devastating circumstances. Now, the other part of it is that the coronavirus emanates out of China. And China represents, according to Bloomberg that I saw the other day, one-third of the world's demand for commodities and other things. So if they shut down their economy to deal with this, that's a third of the world's demand. That is a big deal. Okay, that would have a very dampening effect on, the equity markets and the global economy. And that's different now than it was. I'm going to talk about SARS. Back then, China's economy was nothing like it is today. It was not a third of the world's demand. It was practically nothing. But let's go back and look at history and see what we can see. So first of all, you know, the AIDS epidemic was actually the worst of all the ones I'm going to tell you in terms of its effect on the S&P, on the stock market. So that was in 1981, and the market then went down 11%, the S&P. But that's the only one that a year later, the market was down. Okay, so if you look at the pneumonic plague, which was in 1994, a year later, the S&P was up 26%. SARS, which emanated out of China, of course, and that one, a year later, the S&P, the stock market, was up almost 21%. The avian flu, which also emanated out of China, was a year later and 6 months later was up, and a year later was up 18%. Dengue fever in 2006, the S&P was up 14%. The swine flu in 2009, you may remember that one. That was just recently, at least 10 years ago. And the S&P was up 36% a year later and 19% 6 months later. Then was the Ebola. Remember the Ebola virus in 2014 when we were concerned that that was going to come over to the U.S. and all those issues? Well, 6 months after the outbreak, the S&P was up 5% and a year later was up 10%. The Zika virus, you know, that one was just even more recently in 2016. The S&P was up 12 after 6 months and 17 after 12 months. So really the only one was back in 1981, which was the AIDS, HIV epidemic. And the S&P was down 11% a year later. So what does that tell us? Well, history says that these things tend to not become a big deal for the S&P, for the stock markets, for the equity markets. And therefore, it's not something at this point that I think we should panic about. And, you know, in fact, I would actually look at the possibility that it could be a buying opportunity, you know, for a lot of the stocks that are beaten up by this, you know, the travel stocks and the airlines and all those kind of things. You know, those may bounce back once the issues behind this coronavirus are resolved, hopefully. So what does that mean to you as someone who is retired or retiring soon? Well, I'm going to talk later on in the show about diversification. But again, this is an example of why if you are diversified, you spread your risk around in different areas. And the goal behind that is to mitigate or dampen the effects of things like this. And hopefully you are diversified. If you aren't, we'll be talking about that later in the show. Now, as I've mentioned, our firm is Retirement Planners of America, and we're a firm that specializes in retirement planning. And so all of our retirement planners that you would visit with have been trained in Social Security, they've been trained in Medicare, they've been trained in retirement, how to get income from your retirement, how to diversify your portfolio, given that you are retired or retiring soon. So we focus on that. And our website is rpoa.com, retirementplannersofamerica.com. Now, if you go to our website, you can sign up for one of our seminars. We have seminars near you that you can go to. At the seminars, we talk about how to calculate how much money you need to retire on. We talk about how to determine how much risk you should take with your portfolio. We talk about should you roll over your 401k or not? Should you take Social Security when you're 62, 66, when you're 70? We talk about the fact that the IRS... Yeah, those guys want to tax 85% of your Social Security. We'll show you how to beat that if it's at all possible. And you can find all of that at our website, rpoa.com. All right, we are going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about how to diversify your retirement portfolio. So stay tuned. This is Money Matters, and I am Ken Morafe. La la, dun dun dun, dun 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 dun, and we are back. This is Money Matters with Ken Morafe, and of course, I am your host, Ken Morafe. Thank you, Jack. And I am a founder and senior retirement planner at Retirement Planners of America. And we are a firm that specializes in retirement planning. We love to visit with people who are over 50, who are retired or retiring soon.
I love it.
Yes, indeed. And we love to see if we can help you. And you know what? Everything we do is around helping you to have financial peace of mind and to have your money last as long as you do. And if we can help you do that, whether you are a client or not, we feel like we have done a good thing and we are gratified. So I'm glad you're listening to this show. I hope you're having an absolutely fantastic weekend. I hope everything is coming up roses for you. And, you know, one of the things that we are very proud of is that Forbes named our financial advisory firm one of the top 100 wealth advisors a few years ago. And it was actually a very flattering moment. We were very proud and all that. But without our clients, we know we would be nowhere. And we serve over 8,500 families in 43 states. We are so honored and privileged to do that. We are so thankful. And, you know, we call our clients our beloved and most valued clients. And that is the truth.
Cool.
Now, if you're not a client, we'd like to visit with you and see if there's a possibility for that. And our website is rpoa.com, retirementplannersofamerica.com. And if you go there, we have podcasts about this show. We podcast this show. We have videos, articles, all kinds of stuff that we think will help you to achieve the goals we want you to achieve, which is your money lasting as long as you do and financial peace of mind. Now, one of the things that we do and believe in is diversification. And, you know, many times we run into people who are, they've worked for a company for a long time and they have a high concentration of their retirement monies in their company stock or something like that. Or they've done very well, you know, they bought Facebook, you know, when it was a baby and now it's done so well and, you know, they're reluctant to sell it or that kind of thing. Our view is that when you retire or if you are about to retire, you need to think defensively. You know, you can't think, in our view, offensively anymore. So growth is important. There's no question. I'm not saying that you don't want to grow your money. But protecting principal is more important, okay? Because you can't go back and do it again, you know, or at least you don't want to. So diversification, in our view, becomes very important, even though, you know, concentration may make you more wealth if you're right. But, of course, it could lose you more wealth if you're wrong. And that's the whole reason why we think you should be diversified. So let's talk about the 10, what we call asset classes that we use in our portfolios with our clients. Okay, so we believe in being diversified geographically, meaning across different countries, and also through sectors, which means within an economy, we want to be diversified within technology and energy and, you know, all the different sectors within an economy. So let's start off with and go through the 10 with you and go over that with you. Now, the mix that you have of these, the percentage you have in them, is dependent upon your risk profile. So, you know, and we have a process that helps us to determine how much risk is appropriate for you and therefore what percentage should you have in all of these categories. Okay, so I'm just going to give you the categories, but the percentages, you know, that we'd have to visit with you to be able to tell you how to do that. So first thing then is let's talk about the United States. Okay, within our economy, there are four asset classes there. One is called large cap value. These are large companies that pay dividends. Then we have large cap growth. These are companies that are growing rapidly that don't pay dividends. Amazon would be an example of that. Then we have two more within the U.S. Equity markets. One is small cap value. Again, small companies that are paying dividends but are profitable. And small cap growth, which are small companies that are growing rapidly. We want to participate in their growth. So that's the first four. Now we want to go overseas and look at our stocks that we would look at overseas. So there are two kinds. There are established foreign countries like Europe and Japan and Australia and Canada. And then there are emerging markets. So that's South America, Africa, China, you know, those areas as well. So we want to have those. So those are the first six. Those are all equities. Now, the next four that we're going to talk about are U.S. bonds. So we're going to talk, the first category of that is U.S. government bonds. So we want to, currently the safest investment on the planet Earth, backed by the full faith and credit of the United States printing press. So we can print as much money as it takes to pay off all of our debts. You know, if the Chinese walked in the door tomorrow and said, you know, we want our $1 trillion back, our answer would be, would you like those in tens, 20s, hundreds? How would you like those? Okay, we could print them up for you, and you could walk out here with a big, giant suitcase. But anyway, so the first category is U.S. government bonds and denominated. Now, the next section is U.S. corporate bonds. And these would be, they're also known as high yield bonds. So that's our U.S. bond section, two bond categories there, asset classes. Now, again, we want to go overseas. And so the same thing on our bonds as we had with our equities. We have our established foreign country bonds. Again, that's Europe and Japan and Canada. And then also emerging markets, which is, you know, as I said, China and Southeast Asia and all those kind of things. So those are the 10 asset classes. Now, there's an 11th asset class that is actually very, very important. And we don't always use it, but there are times when we do, and that is called cash. And when I say cash, for most of you, that would be a money market fund. Okay, now others have your stable value in your 401ks. There are different names for it, but basically it's the money markets. And that would be the 11th asset class. Now, most of the time, we don't have a lot of money in the cash bucket. But for 2008, for example, we had our money, all of our equity dollars, we had none in our equities. It was, we counseled our clients to put it all into the cash bucket. So there are times when cash is king and it's the best place to be in our view. Okay. So those are the 11 asset classes that we think should be in any retirees or soon to be retired portfolio. And again, the percentage you'd have in each of those categories is determined by how much risk is appropriate for you.
I'm glad we had this talk.
Well, Tom, you're very welcome. And so one of the things that we use to calculate how what percentages is called your hurdle rate. And I've talked about that on previous shows, so I won't do it right now. But let me offer you this. If you'd like to sit down with one of our retirement planners and look at how your portfolio should be constructed and looking at what percentage you should have, how much risk you should take, are you able to retire soon if you want to? If you're not there, what's the game plan you need to put together? If you're retired already, then how do you get income from your money? You know, all those kind of questions. When do you take Social Security? We want to help you with all of those things, and we want to do it at no charge or obligation. Okay, so if you go to our website, it's rpoa.com, retirementplannersofamerica.com, and click on Meet with an Advisor. And if you sit down with us, we will go through all of that with you, no charge or obligation. If we can help you, absolutely fantastic. We love it. And if not, we'll tell you that too. Okay, so either way, no charge, no obligation, and we will part friends.
I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
And it absolutely is, Bogey, the beginning of a beautiful friendship. And we've made some beautiful friendships along the way and look forward to more. All right, we're going to take a break. And by the way, the website again is rpoa.com. All right, we're going to take a break here. But when we come back, we're going to talk about strategies for when and how to take Social Security and also our buy, hold, and protect strategy as well. So stay tuned. This is Money Matters, and I am Ken Morafe.
Don't you know each cloud contains pennies from heaven?
And we are back. This is Money Matters with Ken Morafe. And of course, I am your host, Ken Morafe. Why, thank you, Jack. I am the founder and senior retirement planner at Retirement Planners of America. And we are a firm that specializes in retirement planning, so we work primarily with people who are over the age of 50, who are retired or retiring soon. And if that is you, then we would love to meet you and see if we can help you. And our website has all kinds of information that we think would benefit you. And, you know, we always have two goals for our clients and for you listening to the show. We want your money to last as long as you do. Okay, so we want you to support your lifestyle for as long as you live. And secondly, we want you to have financial peace of mind.
There's no doubt about it.
No doubt. And if we can do that, then, you know, we've done a good thing, we feel, in this universe, in our little place in the universe. And Barron's named moi, your faithful host, one of the top 100 financial advisors, actually for the eighth year in a row last year.
Wow!
Wow is right, and it's quite an honor. I'm very thankful for that, but I know that without our clients, I would be nowhere. So all you clients, we love you, we thank you, and we're fortunate enough to work with over 8,500 families in 43 states, and it's so great. I can't tell you how happy it makes me. So let's talk about strategies. Now, every week at this time, what I do is I take questions. If you'd like to email me your question with regard to Social Security, I'll endeavor to answer your questions for you. And of course, as I always say, if you send me a question that's too hard, I just won't answer it on the air because I don't want to look like I don't know what I'm talking about. So therefore, don't send me hard ones. No, I'm just kidding. Send me anything you want. I'll research it if I have to, and I'll do my best to answer it. So let's start
off. Sorry about this. I know it's a bit silly.
Okay. Yes, it is very silly. Now, this is from Ruth. So Ruth says, great show. Thank you. She says, I'm a 55-year-old female who has been disabled and on SSDI, Social Security Disability, since 1996. Yikes. Does Social Security Disability convert to Social Security once I reach retirement age? Should I still be disabled? And the answer is yes, it does. Okay, so basically, you continue to get your Social Security benefits. They convert from disabled benefits to Social Security benefits, retirement benefits, and it continues uninterrupted. Okay, so that's a quick question and a quick answer. Now, this question comes from Jeff, and Jeff says, Ken, I'm approaching 61. For the last 24 months, I have been 90. I have been my 91-year-old mother's 24/7, 365 caregiver. 91. Yeah, that's good, I think. Except if you need round-the-clock care. Mom is perfectly middle class. Owns her home. Dad died 35 years ago. The day Mom lost 90% of her independence was the day I gave up my job to be her shadow. You know what, Jeff? That speaks volumes about you. Family is the most important thing, and taking care of your mother speaks about your integrity and what kind of a person you are. He says, I've lost 2.5 years of potential income. Mom pays for my auto insurance and overpriced internet access and tosses me about $100 of pocket money, quote unquote. He said, why, under these conditions, should I have to wait 3 more years before I can apply for Social Security? Okay, and then he ends it with, you may call me if you have a miracle. Now, the answer to that question is, you know, we talk about when and how is the best way to take Social Security, and we talk about all those kind of things, but there are mitigating circumstances which essentially override everything else. Okay, so if you need the money, then take it as soon as you can get it. Okay, which in your case would be when you're 62, so in about a year. If you need the money, take it. Because, you know, waiting till 66 and breaking even when you're 86 and all those other calculations that we talk about, all that are not relevant to you if you need the money now. And you also have to keep in mind that what Social Security does is they calculate how much money they're going to pay you over their lifetime, over your lifetime. And then they divide it by the number of years they think that you're going to live, and they pay you the same amount. So if you take it at 62 or 66 or 70, by the time you reach life expectancy, they pay you the same dollar amount. Okay, so there are break-even points and all those things to think about. But in your situation, you're taking care of your mom. You need the money. What I would say is take it at 62 if you need it. Now, what you can also look at is the potential that maybe she's going to get better or you're going to be able to get a job or something like that, because you have to be careful. If you take it at 62 and a year goes by, because you have a year to change your mind, but if a year goes by and you haven't changed your mind, then it is locked in for the rest of your life. And you will get that lower benefit, that 62 benefit, for the rest of your life. You will get cost of living adjustments to it, but basically you're stuck with the decision you've made. So think about that part of it as well. It's a permanent decision after a year. Okay, so some things. Thank you for your question. Now, if you have questions regarding Social Security, you can email them to me at ken@rpoa.com, retirementplannersofamerica.com. Now, as I mentioned, we are a firm that specializes in retirement planning, and all of our retirement planners, we put them through a 6-week Social Security training program. We certify them annually on that, and we like to think that they are extremely knowledgeable about Social Security and the strategies involved with that, and Medicare, and all those kind of things. And there are lots of decisions there. It's very complex. Do not make these decisions by yourself. Talk to somebody. The Social Security website itself says that there's over 9,000 ways, combinations, to take Social Security. How somebody who isn't trained in it knows how to do that is beyond me. So just don't, okay? Talk to somebody. Our website, rpoa.com. Click on Meet with an Advisor. We'll sit down and visit with you. We'd love to help you if we can. If we can't, that's fine too, all right? No charge or obligation, and we will part friends. So rpoa.com is our website. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about your strategy of buy, hold, and protect. If you sell, you're going to pay taxes. That's terrible. Well, stay tuned. I'll tell you why that's okay when we come back. This is Money Matters, and I am Ken Morafe.
They won't leave in the night. I've no fear that they might desert me. Diamonds are forever.
Diamonds are forever. And we are back. This is Money Matters with Ken Morafe. And of course, I am your host, Ken Morafe. Thank you, Jack. And you know, diamonds may be forever, but I think that good financial planning, retirement planning ideas are even better, because if you can build a financial plan that has your money last as long as you do and gives you peace of mind, which are our two goals, then I think that's better than all the diamonds in the world.
To hear you say that makes me love you, baby.
Well, thank you. It's nice to be loved. Anyway, we are back. I am Ken Morave. I am your host, and I have actually been the host of this show since 1995. Oh, my gosh, 30, what is that, 25 years? A teletype machine? Really, Jack? Is that what you're going to do to me? After all these years, that's how you treat me? Anyway, so... Yes, a long time. And, you know, Financial Times named our financial advisory firm one of the top 300 registered investment advisors. And last year was the third time they did that. And, of course, we're very proud of that designation. But, you know, without our clients, we would be absolutely nowhere. And we help over 8,500 beautiful families to do their retirement planning and to have all the kind of things that we want to help them to do. And we're blessed and thankful for all of that. And I'm equally thankful that you are listening to the show. I hope you're having a fantastic weekend. And, you know, one of the there's a variety of things that we do for clients. We help them with their income tax planning. We help them with estate planning. We help them with Social Security planning, Medicare, all those kind of things, and also with managing their money. And so one of the foundational philosophies that we have in terms of managing money is buy, hold, and protect. And what that means essentially is that buy, yes, because you have to have investments to, if you want to grow your money and all that, you have to at least put it somewhere. And then you have to hold it. And we call the hold process the essentially taking care of the garden, right? You pull the weeds out, you trim the bushes, you rebalance, you diversify, all that kind of stuff. And that's the hold process. But we believe that more important than the other two is you have to have a protect strategy as well, meaning that when the equity markets turn south, as they did in Y2K in 2008 and other times, that you don't want to stay, I don't think, in equities and lose, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50% of your money in the hope that it's going to come back one day, and you may not live long enough to see that day, all right? So therefore, we believe that you should have a strategy to protect your money and sell. And in fact, our strategy said to sell in November of 2007, which was before 2008, when the S&P went down 57% from peak to trough during that bear market. And people that followed our advice did not have those losses because they weren't in equities during all of 2008. So our buy, hold, and protect strategy is still here, ready to be used. If and when the next bear market comes, we're ready to do it again.
Now, you're a persistent cuss, Pilgrim.
I'm very persistent. But I got an email from Carol, and thank you, Carol, and she was very succinct in her question. She said, protect, you know, if you sold all your stocks, wouldn't you have a huge tax liability? And the answer is potentially, yes, you would. But, you know, you have to be careful not to let the tax tail wag the investment dog, okay? You got to put first things first. And I want to tell you a story. And this is, I mentioned I've been doing this show since 1995. I want to tell you a story that goes back to 2002. And I was a speaker at an event, you know, and there was about 1,500 people there, and I was up on stage. It was my big moment my first big moment speaking in front of a large crowd. I was nervous as all get out. But after I gave my talk, I came off the stage, and this gentleman walks up to me, and he goes, do you know how much money I had before this last bear market? Now, this was 2002. This was the tech bubble. And I said, no, I don't know. How much money did you have? And he says, $3 million. And I was like, wow, that's great. Congratulations. And he goes, you know how much money I have now? And I shook my head and I was like, how much? And he said, I have $650,000. And I was like, oh my gosh. I couldn't believe he was smiling. I couldn't believe that he thought this was like something to smile about. And I said, but, you know, to go from $3 million to $650,000, you had to go through $2.5 million, $2 million, $1.5 million. I mean, there were signposts along the way. Why didn't you get off the ride? And he said, I had every intention to do that. I planned to get out if my investments ever dropped down to $2.5 million. But when they went down that far, I thought to myself, I'm down $500,000. I can't sell now. That's ridiculous. And not only that, but I'd pay all these taxes on all my gains, and I don't want to do that. So then he said, I drew a line of sand. If they went to $2 million, then I'd sell then. And when it got to $2 million, he did the same thing. I don't want to pay the taxes, because his original investment in those dot-coms was $100,000, and he was sitting there with $3 million. And he didn't want to pay the taxes. So he ended up selling when he got down to 650. Now, if you invest 100,000 and you're left with 650 when you sell, that's 6.5 times your return. Nothing to cry in your soup about, right? However, if you were sitting at 3 million at one point and you're down to 650,000, that is a really big loss. And so again, you know, yes, we don't want to pay taxes. I get that. The IRS. I think that was Ruth. Right, Ruth? You don't want to pay taxes. I get that. And neither do I. Nobody wants to pay any more than they have to. I totally understand that. But we have a principle, or an investment principle, that says that paying taxes on gains is better than losing principal. Okay? It's not a good idea to lose principal, in our view. And so be thankful that if you have gains, you're paying taxes on those, and protect your principal. That's our view. All right? So that's the answer to that question, and thank you for that. So, you know, as I said, we are Retirement Planners of America. Our firm specializes in retirement planning. So if you're over 50, if you are retired or retiring soon, yes, and there's lots of you out there. I know it. In fact, the stats say there's about 10,000 of you every day that are retiring across the country. Did you know that? 10,000 people a day are retiring. Crazy numbers. And you know what? You need to, in my view, have a game plan to make your retirement successful. And, you know, if you've spent the last 20, 30 years growing your money and putting it in and all this stuff, that's great. Congratulations. And I hope you've done a very good job of that. But keep in mind that once you are retired, you're not in that game you were of building anymore. Now you're in the game of protecting an income. You want to protect what you've got, and you want income from what you've got. And that's a completely different ball game. It's a different mindset. It's a totally different paradigm. And if you haven't been doing it for the last 20 or 30 years, I would recommend that you talk to a professional about it. And that would be us, okay? And so if you go to our website, it's rpoa.com. And when you're there, you can sign up to go to one of our seminars. We have seminars near you. Now, at the seminars, if you go to a seminar, we have our now world-famous oatmeal raisin and chocolate chunk cookies waiting for you. So folks, let me tell you, they're 1 inch thick, 6 inches in diameter. They're a meal in and of themselves. We make them with those plump, juicy yellow raisins. And we put cinnamon in the batter, or we use chocolate chunks. Come for the cookies, learn about how your finances. You can't beat it. Go to rpoa.com to find all of the above. All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to have our estate tip of the week, which are on the documents that I think most of you listening to the show right now should have. So stay tuned. This is Money Matters, and I am Ken Morafe.
Who wants to be a millionaire? Have flashy flunkies everywhere.
Flashy flunkies?
Who wants the bother of a country estate?
I would love a country estate.
Who wants to wallow in champagne?
That not so much. Wallowing in champagne sounds a little sticky, and I don't know. I don't think I'd want that. But maybe Frank does. Anyway, we are back. This is Money Matters with Ken Morafe. And of course, I am your host, Ken Morafe. Thank you, Jack. And we're having more fun than a human being should be allowed to have when talking about all this boring retirement planning stuff. And this week is no exception, because we've been really, really having more fun than a human being should be allowed to have. And I am Ken Morafe, your host, and I am the founder and senior retirement planner at Retirement Planners of America, and we're a firm that specializes in retirement planning. So we work primarily with people who are over 50, who are retired or retiring soon, and if that is you, then we would love to meet you and see if we can help you. We want to help you to achieve two things. One is, we want your money to last as long as you do. And you know, what we always say is, we're not here to make you rich quick. We're here to keep you from becoming poor. There's a huge difference, and I think you understand the difference. Secondly, we want you to have financial peace of mind. We call your retirement your second childhood without parental supervision. We want you to go play, relax, have fun, and not worry about your finances. And Barron's named moi, your faithful host, one of the top 100 independent financial advisors, actually, for the 8th year in a row last year.
To infinity and beyond.
And yeah, hopefully so. I'd like to be able to do it till infinity, but we'll see. Anyway, but without our clients, we know we would be nowhere. So all you clients that are listening right now, thank you. Those of you who aren't, thank you as well. If you're not a client, we'd like to visit with you and see if there's a fit. Our website is rpoa.com, retirementplannersofamerica.com. Now, this is the part of the show where we talk about estate planning. This is the part of the show where we talk about how to pass on to your greedy, unwashed, undeserving heirs the fruits of your labor. And so it's called estate planning. But this week, we're actually not going to talk about passing it on to them. We're going to talk about how to relieve them of a lot of stress, anxiety, and stuff like that. And these are the documents that are called power of attorney documents. Okay, so these are the documents that you would need while you are living, not after you've passed away, but I consider them to be part of your estate plan. Okay, so we're going to talk about the power of attorney documents that I think just about everybody listening to this show should consider. But before we do that, Jack, can you play it?
I know I'd go from rags to riches if you would only say you care. And though my pocket may be empty, I'd be a millionaire.
And of course, that is Tony Bennett with Rags to Riches. And you know, the estate taxes and probate and all that kind of stuff, it's actually designed to do the exact opposite. It's designed to take you from riches to rags, and we do not want that to happen. So every week at this time, we have our estate tip of the week. Now, this week, it's on the power of attorney documents, okay? And there are four of them. And in many cases, they are state specific. So be careful about downloading something off the internet or whatever, because it may not apply to the state that you live in. You know, Texas, Louisiana, Florida, they have some very specific language in their documents, California as well. So you want to be careful not to just use a generic one that may not hold, what do they say, hold muster? In your I remember somebody was telling you to hold mustard. And I was like, no, it's not mustard. It's muster. Although you do want it to hold your mustard, right? You don't want mustard to mustard all over the place. It stains. It's terrible. Anyway, the first document is what's called a durable power of attorney. This is the power of attorney for your finances. So in other words, you want to give somebody the power to make financial decisions for you if you are unable to do so. Now, this is important because nobody has the right to spend your money on anything without you giving them that right. So if you have expenses, if you're incapable of making decisions for yourself and you have expenses, you have medical bills, you have whatever, nobody can pay that for you unless they have that permission. If they don't have that permission, then your family, your spouse, or your kids, they'll have to go to the courthouse and get permission from the judge, and his expenses and time and everything else. You don't want that. So the first document then is the power of attorney for your dollars. It's called a durable power of attorney. The next one is the power of attorney for your health care. Okay, so this is making decisions with regard to which healthcare procedures are going to be done or not done. Okay, this can be a different person than the person that you gave the power of attorney over your finances, because sometimes a person with the money is not the person that you want making healthcare decisions for you. The next one is the physician's directive. And I like to, you know, I don't like to, but I call it the pull the plug document. This is where two physicians, you know, independent, et cetera, both agree that you're terminal and basically the plug needs to be pulled. Now, this one's very important. We've seen over the years times where people have been in the news where they did not have this document and the family was petitioning the court because they were draining all the resources to keep somebody alive that was never going to survive that. And all the money was being spent. And the judge said, no, if that person wanted the plug to be pulled, they would have had a document. They don't. Therefore, you have no right to do it. And the money gets drained away. So that's the physicians. The last one is one you probably haven't heard very much about. It's called a guardianship document. And if you think about if you had kids and you were deciding who was going to take care of the kids for you, if you were not around, take them to school, bathe them, feed them, medicate them, beat them if they misbehave. No, don't beat your kids. Just slap them silly, but don't beat them. But anyway, that's called a guardianship document. And so those are the four: durable, healthcare, physician's directive, guardianship. And I believe that just about everybody listening to the show should probably have those documents. Now, as I mentioned, we are Retirement Planners of America. We work with people who are retired or retiring soon primarily. And if that's you, we'd love to meet you and see if we can help you. On our website, it's rpoa.com, retirementplannersofamerica.com. We have lots of resources available. We have podcasts, articles, videos to educate you on everything we can think of that might benefit you for your retirement planning. And more importantly, what you can do is you can attend one of our seminars. We have seminars near you. At the seminars, we talk about when and how to take Social Security. Are you able to retire yet? Do you have enough money to do that? How much risk should you take? What should you do with your 401k? You know, should you take Social Security when you're 62, 66, when you're 70? The fact that the IRS... Yeah, those guys, they want to tax 85% of your Social Security benefits, folks. We want to help you beat that if it's at all possible. So all that you can find on our website, rpoa.com. All right, we are going to wrap this show up. I cannot believe how fast it's gone. I hope you have enjoyed it as much as I have enjoyed making it for you. We'll see you next week, same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
Is this the end?
Of course not. It's only the beginning.
Information presented should not be regarded as a complete analysis of the subjects discussed and should not be construed as an offer to buy or sell any of the securities mentioned. None of this show's content should be viewed as personalized investment advice. A professional advisor should be consulted before implementing any of the strategies presented. Different types of investments involve varying degrees of risk, and therefore can be no assurance that any specific investment or strategy will be suitable or profitable for a client's portfolio. The tax and estate planning information offered on this program is general in nature. Always consult an attorney or tax professional regarding your specific legal or tax situation. Sound effects or anecdotes should not be construed as an endorsement of Ken Morave or MMWKM Advisors LLC. The firm only transacts business in states where it is properly registered or is excluded or exempted from registration requirements. Registration is not an endorsement of the firm by securities regulators and does not mean that the advisor has attained a particular level of skill or ability.